Tomorrow evening, Dave Bowles will be returning to the John Atsoulis Gallery. You might have heard him read there once or twice before. He's been a featured poet there. And he's a giant in the world of local poetry and local publishing. The photograph chosen, I noticed, for this event is a photo of Dave's own motorcycle. And I think the last time he came on this show, we talked extensively about his travels around the United States and also about how grateful we are that he's landed in this neck of the woods and is promoting so many important local writers. With him is Mary St. Mary. Mary St. Mary was on this radio show about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago. And as we talked about, she's been active in the world of music. She's appeared in films. She has a Wikipedia page that's 9 paragraphs long. And now she's got a book out called You Tore Us. Both of these folks will be reading from new work tomorrow evening at the John Atsoulis Gallery. Details are available at poetryanddavis.com and also right here on this radio show. Dave Bowles and Mary St. Mary, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Dr. Andy.
Great to have you here.
Hey, you know what? We're just looking at a bag of chips, and we're thinking of calling our little, Davis is the beginning of a little, we're going to do 3 dates together down in Los Angeles. Call it a tasty duet.
I like it.
Do you like that? And then you had the jazz, and that kind of reminded me of, you know, a tasty duet.
Good.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Really well.
We're creating art from a bag of sour cream. And
from the white trash Safeway. All right.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
That's great. Well, let's talk about some of these tastes. You and I have not yet met in person, Mary, and I'm wondering what sort of flavor you bring to a poetry reading.
My inner black drag queen.
I like it.
Are you coming tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow night.
We shall meet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, sometimes I'm angry and sometimes I'm not. I'm in a kind of a good mood today.
Sure, you're getting to hang out with Dave and you're looking forward to this this book tour. Are you all calling it a book tour?
Why not?
Sure.
Davis is the beginning. Within a month, it's going to be Davis and then 3 places in Los Angeles. But we're doing Beyond Baroque. Stories, which is in Echo Park in Silver Lake, and the last bookstore, which is downtown L.A., all within about 3 days. And then on 420, I'm doing Clock Tower Records. I'm going to do a reading accompanied by a theremin through some effects.
Wow.
So, yes, I would consider it a bit of a, well, you know, a fun little road jaunt. What do you think? A wee road trip?
Yeah, and then we read on the 24th at Shine.
And then we're doing the Cold River Press night.
Reading.
And by the way, Dr. Andy, hot off the press, I am working on a new book. And even though You Tore Us, I will be reading from that, which just came out, of course, in September. I have some new material. And that's at Dave's guidance and urging, actually. So get ready for some of that.
One thing that Dave does is he helps other people write their books.
He's a motivator.
Yeah.
Well, I would say not really a motivator. You know what? He's somebody that gives you straight ahead, no BS advice or his opinion without any dancing around. And if he says, yes, it's good, then you believe it and go. And my cohort in crime, Monte Cazaza, is here too, and he's sort of that way for me. Like, it's good to have a board. And Dave is wonderful for that. He does promote a lot of wonderful people. So
Definitely.
I'm thrilled. And the first working was fabulous, so we're doing it again. 2013, new one.
Well, you also have the advantage working with Dave in that there is a design sense, an artistic sense that you can see all over the covers of his books, for instance.
Mm.
And I know that his poets, the folks that he publishes, they just love that. D.R. Wagner wouldn't shut up about the look of the book and of his 97 poems that just came out through.
No, that's tremendous.
Cold River Press.
And it's true. Dave does beautiful work. So the interesting process for me was to say, oh, this is in my head, and how can we do it? He does fantastic work. You know, I mean, it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Dave, if we wanted to find out more about Cold River Press, what's the website we should use?
ColdRiverPress.org, O-R-G.
Excellent. And so we heard, we're listening to the voices of Mary St. Mary and Dave Bowles this afternoon. They're giving a reading tomorrow night at the John Nitzulis Gallery. That's at 521 First Street here in the city of Davis. Mary, can you say something about the relationship between your punk sensibilities in a musical context and how that influences both your poetry and how you perform your poetry?
Well, I suppose if you're thinking in rhythms or, you know, it could be called cadence, it could be called rhythm, it could be that if you've had a history such as this, you're not afraid to get up on any stage and have anything thrown at you or anybody say anything, because guess what? Don't ever heckle a heckler.
Right. Because you're ready for a heckler.
I'm ready for anything.
That's great.
And I'm not afraid to say it. So, I mean, you know, and I think, but I think there's something to be said for taking something maybe ugly or scary and making it beautiful, and perhaps being brave and beautiful and allowing yourself to be that and be very real.
Absolutely.
And approachable.
I know that you have used the web and social media to get the word out about the work that you do. Mm. And I'm wondering if you could say something about additional sorts of communities that you've interacted with because of communications technologies.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. It's the new word of mouth, and or the old. I mean, I think it's important to have both. I think it's very important to have a human connection, and I think it's really important to not be a Luddite and to get on there and just spread the word. It's very good for that. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, radio, television, whatever's out there, use it. And you never know, because you never know who it's going to reach. And then make the effort to go places in person and meet people, because that's always a dynamic and wonderful thing.
Right, absolutely. I agree with you there, and appreciate that. I've had many folks on this radio show. D.R. Wagner is one of them recently, who feel kind of split at the root in terms of who they are as creative professionals. And I'm wondering how you think of yourself first in terms of the creative work that you do. Or are those sort of definitions and categories not helpful?
I think split at the roots is fine. I think split in many roots is fine. I think schizophrenia is fine. That I don't have a problem with that. Labels don't mean anything to me. I say go for it and don't be afraid. Be yourself, be brave, and go. And whatever tags, you know, come on. I'm over it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm split at the roots. That's fine.
That's good. Dave, how about...
At least I have some roots.
Sure. Dave, how about for you? You do a great number of things as well.
They all just interconnect to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no divisional line for me. You know, my paintings and art go into the words. I guess first and foremost, I would say I'm a publisher, though.
Uh-huh.
I like publishing. I like putting people out there. I like taking ideas and putting them out for everybody to see and showcasing them so you can highlight the idea just a little bit better.
Mm.
You know, it's fun.
Absolutely.
I've been doing it for a long time. And many thanks to you guys for including the photo of my bike on the Facebook thing. I mean,
thanks for having us anyway.
That was
kind of
cool. That's art there. I customized bikes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just art.
Well, I think there's that good little line, like, just don't do things that suck. And whatever you do, which is a creative form. You can go outside and be dressed a certain way, and it can be a creative form.
Right.
It can be a work of art, everything. It can be poetic. It can be political.
And I think it will be both of those tomorrow evening.
And passionate. Don't forget about the passion.
The three P's.
Three peas in a pod.
Right.
Pretty good. So happy that we're going to be there. Sorry. Oh, they're both laughing at me. Like, shut up.
See, this is what happens. This is what happens when you get Mary and me. See, Mary will wind up talking. It's okay. We did a reading up here, and she went for an hour and a half. And then she went, oh, yeah, hi, you were going to read.
That was a one-time only thing, though. And people remembered it for a really long time.
Obviously, they haven't forgotten. Did they remember finally to invite Dave up, or did that never happen?
Oh, he was like, oh, you're cool. Just keep going. Dave's like one of those big, confident, he's like a redwood tree, right? There's just very solid. He's like, oh, I'm cool.
And a catalyst at the same time.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm looking forward to, I finally got Confessions of a Black Ink Junkie done. Charles Plimel wrote the foreword, and so I just printed the book. I did the binding today. So that's going to be kind of fun.
It's wonderful.
Especially, you know, you get somebody like Charles Plimel to write the foreword, and I just get a big kick out of him.
Oh, absolutely, and we talked about him the last time you were on the show, so I'm sure that
was a huge inspiration. I'm 54, almost 55, and he's been an inspiration since I was 15 years old.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I'm glad he's still around to write forwards for your books.
Yeah, me too.
It's a really great book.
Terrific. Well, what I would like is after we hear a public service announcement, when we come back, I'm sure listeners would like to hear a radio-ready poem from each of you.
Oh, Lord. Hey, should we tell them the time, too? Did we do that, Andy?
I think we did, but we can tell them again. It's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the John Atsoulis Gallery, which is at 521 First Street, right there at the corner of First and E Streets at the entrance to the city of Davis.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break for a public service announcement, and then when we return, we will enjoy some poetry from none other than Dave Bowles and Mary St. Mary. It's a preview of their performance tomorrow night at the John Atsoulis Gallery. They're appearing live on the Live Line here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. But people demand poetry, and therefore it's my job to give it to them right here on KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. Dave Bowles and Mary St. Mary are on the Live Line, and they would each like to share with us a poem. And so now the inevitable question, who's going to go first?
Dave.
All right, Dave. Let's hear what you have.
I was grooving on the jazz, too.
Me too. And I really liked when he goes, people demand their poetry. I'm like, what a great world we live in.
Well, let me tell folks at home what we've been listening to. That was Greg Osby's album, Season of Renewal. And that was the first track called Sapphire.
Nice.
All right. So what do you have for us, Dave? Something safe for the radio?
Yeah, it's safe for the radio.
Excellent.
I'm going to read a section out of the long poem, Confessions of a Black Ink Junkie. It's a long poem in three parts. This is the end of part one. My eyes burning, my lungs filled with the loving, acrid taste of ink. There is a need here for a child to smile. A need here for a dark night or a lover's glance, a quick darting of eyes, a sampling, a tease of emotion. There is a need here for all of this, here on the page, and we all wait impatiently for it, purchasing it, hoarding it, caressing it as books, magazines, papers, articles, these collective words, these collective markings that guide our lives, direct our souls, drive our tastes, our indulgences, couple our fears with our dreams. These blessed glyphs formed by the disposed banalities that only a black ink junkie will ever truly know. Repent now, sinners. I've a religious experience to put down on paper or bind up and offer to the masses, though perhaps some political agenda might best be met this evening as well. It's all food for the soul, nourishment for the mind. It's black ink, baby, black ink. No matter the cut, no matter the shot, a junkie knows they must fix tonight, and tonight, baby, tonight, the fix runs deep.
Oh, I love that. I really enjoyed reading the poem and its printed version, and I love that section. And it's interesting to me how you conflate this idea of addiction and this idea of writing. And it seems to me that for you autobiographically, the black ink is not only what you feel compelled to do as a writer, but of course your compulsion to share the black ink of other great authors.
Yeah, my mentor, Ben Hyatt, who passed away a few years ago, took me under his wing 30-some years ago and saw that I was a publisher. And he said, you're a black ink junkie. Mm. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You right. are a black ink junkie.
Right.
Interestingly enough, the first time I met Charlie Plymell and we wound up talking, he said the same thing. He goes, my God, boy, you're a black ink junkie.
Yeah. Now, it seems like, somewhat of a dated phrase almost, because I'm left to wonder what's the difference between a black ink junkie and an ink junkie.
Well, I kind of go through that in the poem. It's a long poem. It morphs through not just only my personal life of going through commercial printing, commercial marketing, and PR, and color, and the internet, and all that other stuff. But it's the whole genre of print, of how we've evolved and de-evolved. Now we're de-evolving to where, it's not just the glitz of the color. It's the message, and the message runs through, and black ink is everywhere.
Well, as a black ink junkie, what is your relationship with the online world? And do you have concerns about some of the physical relationships that you and I and others have had with books in the past? Is that's being lost because of how much we're moving online and away from books?
It's a real love-hate relationship. I've been, since the beginning of online, I've been right there with it. I've helped many people publish books online. I was there creating websites when it first started. I've been doing this electronically since it started electronically. The thing I don't like about it is it does take a certain amount of creativity, and it just makes it food for the masses.
Right.
People are putting stuff out. Oh, look, I just published a book. Well, no, you put 10 of them out on Amazon's little instant publisher thing. You didn't really. You just put a collection of thoughts out there. And that, I think, is what's really been missing with it. It's difficult to get a coherent feel. I mean, when I do a book, it's not just the words. It's the whole package.
Right.
That's what I think, and most publishers would agree with that. And that's missing from the Internet. And then, of course, you have the attention span of a gnat when you're on the Internet, so does it really sink in?
Yeah.
Versus you can have it in your hand, you can look at it and read it and think about it.
And part of what you're talking about, too, from your point of view, it sounds like, is the influence of the editor and of the curator, because we need people with discernment, if you will, to help make the choices about what's worthy to be published in the first place.
I agree, and I think you can it takes an eye to say, hey, maybe we should cut these last two lines off the poem, and it's a much more powerful piece. Philip Larea, just now coming out with his book, his first real book, We the People. And I tremendously respect what Philip does, but there was one of his poems that it needed to end differently. And actually, he agreed. He said, yes, it was published this way in a previous chapbook, which my response is, well, that's because I didn't publish it.
Right, right. Because,
I wouldn't have published it, but that's my point. And it reads better. That's the type of thing where you're looking, to put something together. Mary's book, You Tore Us, the whole thing is one fluid motion. I mean, the typeface is different than any other typeface. The whole book is one adventure.
Terrific.
There's a huge call for that.
And I think bibliophiles are alive and well.
I think so, too.
Just like people who want to listen to vinyl.
The one thing that does concern me is the cost of printing these days and mailing. It is extremely cost prohibitive to do publishing if you're doing it to an international market.
I agree with you, and I know that you and I have talked about that with the books and the journals that you've put out, and just this idea of shipping and what that does to the availability of great work on the international market.
Yeah, it is a challenge, but there are ways to get around it. I've put together bookstores overseas, and my friends will go to. I'll send them, if I'm going to send one book to Ireland, I guarantee I'm sending 20. Because it's not much difference in cost.
Right. That's a good point.
And so then you elicit people to go out and help from a grassroots level, which is what small press started. Mm-hmm. I mean, small press started as a grassroots thing, which led to many, many things. Harry Potter is one of the huge successes that started from small press. The first printing of Harry Potter was 1,000 books.
Really? I didn't know that.
500 of which, very smart publisher, this guy had it going on. 500 books were donated to libraries, children's libraries. Mm. The other 500 was what he had to play with. Mm. And they put that empire together.
That is smart.
I mean, definitely. In the world of publishing, 1,000 books is nothing.
Right.
That's small press. And yet, look what it spawned.
A billionaire. We were talking in class last week about how there are two women who are self-made billionaires from their own creative works and chutzpah. And one is J.K. Rowling, and the other was Oprah.
Right.
Starting with nothing and working her way up into an empire.
She went to 12 different publishers and got turned down, except for the 12th one, who said, I'm going to let my daughter read this. And gave his daughter a chapter, and she said, I want more.
Right.
And then he had his other employees, hey, give your kids this. And they all said, we want more. And based on that, they did a limited run of the book, and here we are.
That's a smart investment.
So you got to be crafty.
I'm down for chutzpah, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's...
I read poetry, I publish books, and I will wash your car, too.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and Dr. Andy, with one thing that you can't get online, too, I mean, like I said, if you go out and support things, which is also expensive because you're of course, gas and whatnot that is through the roof, but that will sometimes do more than the Internet with all the wonderful exposure it has and the borders that it can cross.
Definitely. Well, I think that's a good transitional moment. Mary St. Mary, could we hear a poem from you, please?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to just be real brief. I got a short one, but it's clean.
Great. Let's hear it.
I promise. it's called Clandestine Operation. There was a knock, knock, knock on my door. I could not open it. I did not know who it would be, a she or a he. Would they die young or grow old, be scared or be bold? There was a knock, knock, knock on my door. I could not open it, for I could only house one. I can only house one. I can only house one. Today I must be brave. Just close my eyes, they will go away. The hardest act for us. How do I sleep at night? Well, sometimes I don't.
I like that. Poignant.
Thanks.
And reminiscent of Edgar Allan Poe at the beginning, too. I like it.
Ah.
Well, let me tell folks at home and remind all of you that these two voices are those of Dave Bowles and Mary St. Mary. They're both poets, and they both dabble and work and show great facility in other media and other art forms as well. And both of them will be performing tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the John Atsoulis Gallery. That's 521 First Street on the 21st of March, the first full day of spring. They will be our featured readers at 8 o'clock. We'll have an open mic at 9 o'clock. This is a free event. You can find out more about the venue, about the poets, and about the poetry series at Poetry davis.com. Well, Dave Bowles and Mary St. Mary, it's always a pleasure to talk to either one of you. How nice to have you both on the live line.
Yeah.
And I look forward to the performances tomorrow night.
Yeah, can't wait to meet you. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Andy.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.